It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hello, Denise. How are we going?
Hey, Laura. I'm good. And you?
Actually, I'm a little buzzed, if I'm honest. I had a Red Bull, and that is never a good thing if I'm about to go on air, if I'm frank.
Well, sometimes it's a Friday. I think, you know, it could be Red Bull Friday. We'll give you that.
I don't know. I always come on, and then my hands start to jitter, and it's just, it's all downhill from here. But
can I just say something? I really like that guy, Ben. He is a crack-up. He keeps it real. He's so Kiwi understated. And Ben, I've got a question for you. Would you want to be a Breeze boy anyway?
Well, apparently not for Ben. He does not want to be a Breeze boy. He's just happy to be at B.
Yeah, well, good on you, Ben. He's awesome.
Yeah, he definitely is. So I'll jump into it. We've got the pay equity bill we're talking about this week. Now, this is, of course, something quite close to you because you submitted a bill a while back on this issue, didn't you?
Yeah, sure did. February of last year, not even this year, last year.
Yeah.
This really, really gets to me because it was in conjunction with Stats New Zealand announcing yesterday that the gender pay gap has remained unchanged under this government. So it hasn't moved at all. Yet, if they had decided to let my bill on pay equity for female-dominated jobs go through to select committee, so like it got introduced, they voted it down, the government did, so it didn't go any further. If they'd done that back then, they could have used their numbers, amended it however way they wanted to, and we would have had a pay equity bargaining process for women in place for probably like a year now. And instead, it's like a bunch of nothing.
Well, I might have to disagree a little bit on that because the numbers I have say there is a very small decrease in the gender pay gap, 2% compared to last year.
Okay, so Stats New Zealand, I'm looking at their press release right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
The headline is Gender Pay Gap Unchanged Since 2017 Media Release.
I'm looking at a different press release to you, which is the Pay Equity Coalition. We've got different stats, different figures, but we'll shift on from that. So recently what's happened is Julianne Jenter released a press release on this bill. Can you tell me what your issues are with it?
Yeah, so off the back of Stats New Zealand telling everyone that the gender pay gap's unchanged under this government, the Minister for Women, Julianne Jenter, she immediately releases a statement telling people all the things that they're doing, implying that they're doing lots of work. And one of the statements that she made was that the pay equity legislation, of course, you know, which I had a version of over a year ago, is in select committee. But it's actually been through select committee and we're waiting for it to be reintroduced back into parliament so we can debate it and make progress on it. But for 3 months, it hasn't surfaced. So it's past its next stage. It's been sitting languishing on parliament's agenda for over 3 months now. No word. We asked in the House yesterday, I questioned her in the House yesterday about why, what's going on, and there's just no answers. They say, oh, we're working on it, we're looking at what we're going to do next, we're not sure. So what is it? If you want to take action, if you want to get some progress for women, they've had two goes at doing this based on the work that we started. They could use their numbers to amend it if they want, but instead we've got total inaction.
Mm. The press release that we got just a few days ago had some changes made to it, saying that they'd received submissions recently from the public asking for clear advice and guidance on pay equity claims in this bill, and as well as an investment of $1 million to be made in the well-being budget to assist claims processes. Do you think those are changes that have been happening behind the scenes?
Well, if it's what I think it is, I was on the select committee that heard all the submissions on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there in person. And we heard all those topics that you've just raised, we heard them all.
Yeah.
So why do they need to pause now to look at all that? They should have dealt with it during select committee and got on with this. So it does not stack up that they're pausing in the background to do this or that. They can introduce it back into the House. We can get on with the second reading, and then there is, of course, another stage where you debate amendments in the debating chamber. So there's plenty of opportunity. But quite literally, Laura, women around New Zealand who are wanting this government, Jacinda Ardern said that she will not rest until pay equity is achieved. Well, here's another 3 months of resting. And I don't get it, and quite frankly, I think it's shameful.
Well, I can tell you're definitely chomping at the bit to debate this more in Parliament. I'm going to be interested when we actually get to it.
Yes. You betcha.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I just think of women in retail and trade and social services and education. You know, I mean, why do we have a gender pay gap? It's outrageous.
Mm. Too true. I'm going to shift on to the regional fuel tax. Now, a statement came out from you saying that if elected into government, National would completely scrap the regional fuel tax. Yep. I'm curious, do you think that the fuel tax has had zero value to the public?
Well, we haven't seen any new programs or projects, have we? So here's, look, if there was a big building program, we'd seen business cases for this and designs for that. We haven't seen anything. So I would really invite the government to show us what all this new $1.5 billion of new fuel taxes they've collected is going on. And we know from NZTA themselves, they've said that they're struggling to find things to spend it on. They've got underspend because the government isn't letting them build any new roads. So where's all this money going?
Mm. A lot of these, so my understanding of the bill is it's mainly to make sure these projects are not behind. So we've seen a lot of changes to different projects that were already underway. So the Melling Interchange project, as well as the Mill Road Corridor project, these kinds of things could have been postponed more, but were more so reevaluated and able to be pushed forward. Do you think that is just zero progress?
So, you know, Mill Road, Penlink, East-West Link, these are all the cluster of projects that they've cancelled, delayed, and cancelled indefinitely, or just delaying. We don't know what's happening next. East-West Link is actually in my area, so I know the impact that having it sit on ice is having. Look, all we're trying to say here is just real simple, is if you're going to collect all that much tax, at least show us what you're doing about it. Under us, we started the CRL, Waterview Tunnel was completed, we electrified Auckland's rail network, we had the Amity project. These are all massive projects. We did all that without the regional fuel tax.
Mm-hmm. So you are standing by it that there is absolutely zero worth in what the regional fuel tax has done?
Well, show us the list of projects, show us the improvements, give us some certainty around projects that both they and us agree on, because they're still in what you call the ATAP, the Auckland Transport Alignment Program, like, as I was saying, East West Link, Penlink, Mill Road, and so on. So we all agree they need to be done, but what's happening? Nothing. Instead, they've taken 24 cents off people in petrol costs in less than 3 years.
Mm.
Well, 2 years, actually.
Mm.
So we've increased our petrol taxes by 24 cents a litre. Huge impact on people who are struggling income-wise, and we don't see anything for it. So, you know, it's a bit rich to say that, you know, this is what's needed and, you know, it's going to really, we're going to, I mean, they went to the public on a promise that if you give us more of your money, we'll show you the investment, and that just has not happened.
Shifting on to my last topic, which is the End of Life Choice Bill and the amendments made by David Seymour. Now, of course, Chris Pank also proposed some amendments to the End-of-Life Choice Bill, what they were voted down. But can you tell us a little bit about what they were and why they didn't seem to get any traction?
So David Seymour's amendments were, and most people would know this, he really boiled the bill back, I guess you could say. So he removed eligibility for people who have got, you know, mental health issues or disabilities. You have to have, you know, grievous or remediable condition, and that your life will end within 6 months. So as it's looked for that, personally, I've gone through every single amendment one by one. I haven't and I won't be block voting on either side, on either pro or the anti side, because even though I have a fundamental problem and can't see any other way other than me voting no at the end, I voted yes on David Seymour's because I think, well, if this does pass, then it does need to be strengthened. And so Chris Penk and some others on the anti-euthanasia side, I've supported some of the stuff that they're doing because I think, well, if this does pass, even though someone please help me and confirm for me that there won't be one wrongful death, and look, I just don't think that there will be. I think there will be a wrongful death along the way. You know, there's been amendments like Michael Woodhouse saying that we should be able to let organisations conscientiously object. That didn't pass. You know, we're allowing a medical practitioner to conscientiously object, but what about an organisation? What if they think, medically speaking, ethically speaking, that they can't do this? Why can't they opt out? That didn't pass. Dick Smith wanted an amendment to allow for immediate family members to be informed about someone heading into assisted suicide, and that didn't pass either. And I found that quite reasonable. Now, it doesn't mean that the immediate family can change the decision or have any, you know, final sway. They just need to be informed that this person has made that decision and it will take place. So that didn't pass either. So where I'm at is, you know, what's something that strengthens the bill? What's something that's reasonable? What's something that literally in a matter of life and death, that we'd put in as many safeguards as we can? That's what I'm attempting to do.
Yeah. So currently as it stands, would you say the bill is too soft?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I just, even with me voting amendment by amendment, and trust me, we've had dozens and dozens and dozens, even with doing that, I still vote yes to try and tighten it up and strengthen it up. But overall, can anyone tell me how there won't be a mistake, how there won't be coercion involved in, like, even just one assisted suicide? If it was for the wrong reasons and someone just felt like, hey, it's just, you know, my time to go, my family don't need me as a burden anymore, you know, ouch. It's just, I'm really uncomfortable with that.
I'll just shift on to our last question, as I like to do. Lighten the mood.
Yeah, okay.
But my question for you today, when you were a kid, did you play any sports?
Yeah, swimming was my thing.
Oh,
I love swimming. I think I'm a water baby. I just love the feel of the water. I love the ocean. I was born and raised in Pyro, you know, as an LMP. And, you know, there was the big Pyro swimming pool, and I spent many an hour in there. So I did swimming in primary school and college, and that's my thing. I did a bit of netball and a bit of this and a bit of that, but that's my love, swimming.
Did you get into competitive swimming?
Yeah, no, I did. I represented the Thames Valley. You know, kind of like regional comps, I guess. And, you know, I don't think I was spectacularly wonderful, but...
You got to give it a go.
I had fun.
Yeah, got to try. I love a competitive streak.
Yeah, we used to go to the Tron and compete. And I remember distinctly thinking that was so cool because I could get hot chips after I got out of the pool. Getting your kicks in regional New Zealand, that's what that is.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I am looking forward to talking with you next week, Denise, and thanks for talking to me today.
Take care. See ya.
Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.